If you got the joy of the Lord in your heart, notify your face.
Yeah.
Glory.
Amen.
We want a revival, right?
Sure.
I said we want a revival.
Glory.
We want to see people get the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Right.
Well, hallelujah.
Why, sure.
I am very happy to be here with Brother and Sister Rutledge, and I've known these people longer than I like to think about.
Yeah.
A long time. Such a beautiful church building. And such a very beautiful crowd of people.
Praise God.
You look so good tonight.
Thank you, brother.
The choir was so good.
Yeah.
I see a lot of young people in this service tonight.
Hallelujah.
I can relate to young people.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a language that I don't understand. I don't dig it. I don't hack it.
Yeah.
Back in my part of the country, when they don't want to listen to you, they say, chill. That's it. Don't bother me. Some time ago, a young lady came to the house. She said, I've worked so hard today. I'm going home, eat my supper, and take a bath, and I'm going to crash. I said, what kind of machine are you going to be in when you crash? She said, I mean, I'm going to bed. That's their language.
Yeah.
But you young people, you are in the best place.
Yes.
That you'll ever be in until you get to heaven.
Hallelujah.
In the house of God.
Glory.
To worship Him.
To worship Him.
Free from drugs. Free from the beggarly elements of this world.
Thank God.
You ought to be happy about it tonight.
Sure.
I said you ought to be happy about it tonight.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
I didn't come here to try to preach a new message. I'm an old-time preacher. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 17. And I celebrated my 80th birthday last July. So I'm going on 81. 63 years ago, God gave me the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And it's more real tonight than it was then.
Yeah.
Because I understand more about it now than I did then.
Sure.
I love what this book tells me that I can receive.
Hallelujah.
He said I could receive it. And I received it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
I want to let my hair down tonight and preach.
All right, tell us about it.
I just want to preach.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to preach from a thought tonight that as I read the Scriptures, and they will be a little lengthy, but as I read the Scriptures tonight, if you will respond, as I read the Scriptures, when I'm finished, everybody with a need in this room tonight, if you believe what I'm going to read from this book, you can march right down to the front of this church, kneel or stand around these altars, and get every need you have supplied tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Bless the Lord.
I'm turning to Luke chapter 11. And I begin reading at verse number 9. Now these are the words of Jesus. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you.
Yes.
Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth.
Right.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be open.
Glory.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children,
yes,
how much more,
amen,
shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
All right.
Hallelujah.
How much more? Now Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by.
Amen.
And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God.
Oh, yeah.
Lift your hands and thank God tonight for the reading of the Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. The Lord bless you tonight. I have preached from this text a lot of times, and I've heard many preachers preach from this text. The seeker was always put in the forefront. But just a short time ago, I looked at this scripture again. I'm not going to put the seeker in the forefront. I'm going to put Jesus.
All right.
I'm going to put Jesus in the forefront. And I'd like to title this message, the giver. Not the seeker, but the giver. The giver. Did you know the giver is in this room tonight?
Hallelujah.
The giver is here.
Sure.
Somebody wrote a song one time. The healer is coming down the road. I'm preaching tonight. The giver is in the room right now. He's in the room right now. Jesus was a very outstanding teacher.
Amen.
But his teaching was simple. People could understand it.
Right.
He said, seek and you'll find. Ask and it shall be given you.
Right.
Knock and it shall be opened. That's what Jesus said.
Right.
When you seek and ask and knock, you will never be disappointed, because the giver is always on hand. Then he took advantage of people in his audience that were the father of children. He said, now, if they ask bread, will you give them a stone? If he asks a fish or an egg, will you give them a scorpion? Jesus knew they would not.
Right.
Then the Lord said, if you be an evil, if you be an evil and know how to give good gifts to your children,
right,
how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
Right.
How much more?
Amen.
How much more?
Amen.
He's on the giving hand tonight.
Yes.
The Father would not substitute bread and give the child a stone.
Amen.
And Jesus said, if you are evil and know how to give good gifts unto your children. You see, the Father is a giver.
Yes.
know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? He is the giver. In John 3:16, you've heard this quoted time and time again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So He's a giver. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. But He said, the thief has come to kill and destroy. But I've come to give you life and that you might have life more abundantly.
Amen.
Jesus is the giver. And I want to show you something tonight in the book. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, the scripture said that John the Baptist, now this is his mission. John said, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He said, I have come to prepare the way of the Lord. But He said, he that is to come after me, of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, who is the baptizer? We can exhort, preach, admonish, and pray. But it's not in our power to give anybody the Holy Ghost. He's the baptizer. He's the baptizer. He said, I've come to prepare the way of the Lord. To baptize, to point you to Jesus. But he that cometh after me, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. You are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen. That's good.
Somebody asked me one time why there were so many icebergs in the pew. I said, because there's so many polar bears in the pulpit.
Yeah.
We need to get the fire to burn him.
Yeah.
We need to melt the icicles.
Yeah.
Hear me tonight? Melt the icicles. Melt the icicles. Get the fire to burn him. This Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. Thank God for the fire. I said, thank God for the fire. If you are concerned about the Holy Ghost, don't go to somebody that does not have it. Don't go to the preacher that tells you you can't get it. You ask some old saint of God that's been in about 25 or 30 years about the Holy Ghost. In a New York minute, they'll tell you how real it is. Praise God. This is an experience. I said the Holy Ghost is an experience. And when you get it, you'll know it. And it won't be long until your neighbors will all find it out. It won't be long until the cats and dogs around the house will know that something has happened to you.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
John the Baptist did not start at the top of the tree and cut off a few branches. He went to the root of the tree. Now he said, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, I want to drop your thought here. If you have a problem, you've got to realize you have a problem, and then you've got to solve the problem. If not, you will live and die with a problem. But the first thing is to realize you do have a problem. Then you can solve that problem. You've got to get down to the root of things. If your car is not running good, don't take it to the paint shop and have the body painted. Attend to the motor. You've got to realize where the problem is and then do something about the problem.
Amen.
And a lot of times the problem is us.
Amen.
When you get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and look in the mirror, your hair uncombed, and your teeth in the kitchen and a glass of water, that's you.
Yeah.
That's not your neighbor down the street. That's you. We've got to look in the mirror of God's Word and see us as we really are. See us as we are. And realize that we have the problem, but thank God there is a problem solver in this room right now that's able to solve anybody's problem. But we like to say the other man has a problem. We don't have any. The fellow went to the doctor, sick, disgruntled, and the doctor examined him, and he wanted to check his attitude about things. He said, when you wake up in the morning, he said, do you wake up grouchy? No, he said, I'll let her sleep. It wasn't the woman that had the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
He had the problem.
Right.
And I'm preaching to you tonight from my heart that you've got to get to the root of the problem.
Right.
If you've got sin, you've got to get to the root of sin.
Right.
If you need to be saved, you've got to realize first that you're lost without God, and then begin to repent and come to God the Bible way, and you too can become a member of the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you've got to realize some things. You don't get blessed accidentally. You get blessed when you prepare for the blessing.
That's right. That's good.
Now Jesus said, you must be born again. John said, I've come to prepare the way of the Lord, but the baptizer is going to follow me. I wish I could have power to help people to the extent that I could help them receive the Holy Ghost. But it all depends on the seeker. It all depends on the seeker. Because the giver has already done his part.
Right.
I said the giver has already done his part.
Right.
He has come, suffered, bled, died, buried, resurrected, glorified, and ascended into heaven. And now the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon all flesh.
Oh, hallelujah.
I have been to places lately where honestly I believe that they believed that God was given the Holy Ghost through an eyedropper. Just a little drop here and there.
Yeah.
We need showers. We need the Holy Ghost to fall like rain. That's what I'm preaching in this church tonight. And if you want to have a revival, the first thing, you've got to get revived yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
They sure need it.
Am I doing all right?
You're doing good. We need it.
Well, glory.
Amen. You're preaching.
If you have a problem, you've got to realize where the problem is and then solve the problem.
Right.
I want to read tonight from the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. You know, it's a very strange thing how people can misinterpret the Scripture. But in the book of Acts, the reason it's called the book of Acts, that means the actions and the doings of the apostles. That's what that means. The acts are the doings of the apostles. Now, I know that most of you are acquainted with Acts chapter 2. When 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. But did you know that this did not stay in the upper room?
Right.
It spilled out into the streets.
Amen. That's right.
And there was such demonstration of power and glory until the people said, they're drunk. They're full of new wine. But Peter, in defense of this experience, he said, they're not drunk, as you suppose, seeing this is only the third hour of the day. That meant 9 o'clock in the morning. Who wants to get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? They always get drunk late in the evening and all night, but not 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, they're not drunk as you think they are. But he said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He does the pouring. He does the baptizing. We can preach and pray and exhort, but the baptizer and the giver is in this room right now.
Amen.
I dealt with a man one time. He didn't know nothing about the Bible. That man didn't know nothing. He didn't even suspect nothing. I had to set him down like a little child, and I taught him the Scripture. He came to the altar and received the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's easier to talk to somebody and to deal with somebody that does not know anything than to deal with somebody who thinks they know everything. He received the Holy Ghost. On the job, the question of the Holy Ghost came up. And this man turned to this new convert. He said, you cannot receive the Holy Ghost in this day. The man said, what am I going to do? He said, I've already received it. So you've got to realize this began on the day of Pentecost. This was what Joel prophesied. Chapter 2, verse 28 of the book of Joel. This is what John said would come to pass. This is what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Oh, I love to preach about it. Praise God. It puts life in you. And it put a praise in your heart. I said a praise in your heart. It'll make you happy. It'll put joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many of you remember the day that you prayed through and received the Holy Ghost? I heard about a man that lived in a part of the country where this message had never come. That was my case. I had never heard it, but when I heard it, I accepted it. My whole family accepted it. But this fella went across the country to visit his kin people in the summertime. And they were having a Pentecostal revival, and he got the Holy Ghost. Went back home, no church to go to. No church, no Pentecostals around him at all. He decided one Sunday morning that he had to go to church somewhere. And he went to a deep freeze. And he found him a good seat, sat down and folded his arms, and the pastor said something he liked. He said, amen. There was an usher that appeared by his side and said, we don't allow that here. In a minute, the pastor said something else he liked. He said, hallelujah. Two men appeared, and they ushered him out in the vestibule. Said, we just don't allow that here. One of the ushers said, what's the matter with you? He said, I've got religion. Well, he said, you didn't get it here. The other one said, I think I know your problem. You're half cracked. He threw both hands up. He said, praise God. That's where the light got in. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Listen, I'm preaching to you tonight, and I have an all-time revival. The giver is on hand. I said, the giver is on hand, and he wants to give it to you tonight. Glory.
Thank God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. That's great.
Now, I feel good tonight.
Amen.
I feel like preaching.
Yeah.
And Peter, I want you to note some things here. Peter, this is what he said. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise. Who made the promise? The giver. For the promise is unto you, the Jews, to your children, the Jews, and to those that are far off, the poor old Gentiles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now that man that preached that sermon in Acts chapter 2, he was a human just like you and I.
Amen.
He preached something that he did not fully and thoroughly understand. Because when it came time for the Lord to visit the Gentiles, the Lord had a hard time with Apostle Peter to get him to go down to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and take them the word of life. He had to show them a vision. He went, but he went against his will. He went. He took six Jewish brethren with him, knowing that he was going to be called into question sooner or later. And when Peter and those six Jewish men that went with him, when they walked across the threshold of the house of that Gentile, the Bible said, as he began to speak the word, the Holy Ghost,
glory,
fell on all them that heard the word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's how you get God, is through His word.
Amen.
I said through His word.
Right.
What does the Bible say? What does the book say? What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If I give you a gift, I'm the giver.
Right.
And you receive it.
I receive.
That's exactly what I'm preaching tonight. Come to Jesus, the giver, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it is a gift and is poured out upon all flesh.
Amen.
Somebody out there ought to jump up right now and say hallelujah.
That's right. Glory.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Now, sure enough, Peter was called into question. So he stands in Acts chapter 11 and verse 13. He explains himself. Verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubted. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved.
Amen.
And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. He is saying the Gentiles received the same thing the Jews received.
Right.
Now, verse 16. This is so good. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now, let me read this slowly, 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift. Who gave the like gift to the Gentiles?
The giver.
The giver gave the Holy Ghost not only to the Jews, but he gave it to the Gentiles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's a giver. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise God. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and let's praise him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the Bible describes a man who was a beggar. He sat by the wayside begging. He was identified as a beggar. And he heard the noise of a multitude. He turned and said, what is this? They said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now you notice what the blind man said. He had heard something about Jesus somewhere. Because he said, Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. Thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. And this is one part of the scripture that I've never been able to understand. The scripture says those that went before rebuked him. When you make up your mind to turn your life around and to tell the world goodbye, and come to Jesus, you're going to have opposition.
Hallelujah.
I said you're going to have opposition.
Sure.
This man had opposition. Said, hold your peace.
Right.
But he answered opposition by this. The Bible said that he cried out all the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You could stop for a long time and preach from that verse.
Amen.
Opposition, but the door of opportunity was open.
Right.
I could preach a long time tonight on the door of opportunity.
That's right.
When the door is open, it's time to walk in.
Right.
I said it's time to walk in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When you have the opportunity.
Right.
I dealt with a man when I pastored. He came to me one Sunday night. We had a great service. He said, Brother Gamlin, he said, I got my call tonight. He said, the Lord called me to come to the front and pray. He said, I felt a hand on my shoulder. He says, the Lord called me. But he said, I didn't respond. He said, what can I do? Well, I said, you come back Sunday night. After the service Sunday night, he said, I can't feel what I did last Sunday night. What am I to do? Well, I said, come back Sunday night and I'll give the altar call again. He came, and I never will forget this. He walked back and forth across the front of the church. He said, I cannot pray. He said, I got my calling. But he said, now I cannot pray. I cannot pray. He repeated that two or three times, still ringing in my mind. He had the opportunity, but he never walked through the door. If this blind man would have listened to opposition, this might have been his last opportunity to ever come in contact with Jesus Christ.
You're
Right. He might have died as a blind man without receiving his sight. But thank God, when that door of opportunity was opened to him, he walked in. And the giver gave him what he was seeking for. His sight. Hear me tonight, friend. It's time to seek the Lord.
Amen.
We don't have any time to waste.
Right.
It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to have revival. It's time to bring the lost in. It's time for the church to get on fire. It's time for the church to get revived. It's time for the church to have the joy of the Lord in the heart. It's time for the church to have a song. Praise God, have a song. I have two hobbies, and I'm good at both of them. Number one, I watch people. And I've seen people walk in the church on Sunday morning with a Bible under their arm, and from the look on their face, it looked like they had a date with a flogging machine. And when 12 o'clock got there, it looked like they had been flogged. The church ought to be the most exciting place in your community. No wonder the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, come and let us go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes I believe people pushes the ox in the ditch on Saturday for an excuse to stay home and get him out on Sunday. Man, am I ever preaching tonight.
Amen.
I've learned to preach whether people say amen or not.
Right.
Listen, I'm preaching to you tonight to get stirred up. Make your church the most exciting place. This is not a morgue. This is not a graveyard. This is the house of God. Where the glory comes down. Where the power of God is manifested.
You're preaching.
Then number two, I read bumper stickers. I saw one the other day on an old jalopy. He had the top taped on. It said, somebody answer my prayer. Please steal this car. And I saw another one that said, go first class. Your heirs will. How many of you have seen this one? If you love Jesus, honk. A man saw that. He said, I can beat that. He had him one made and said, if you love Jesus, pay your tithes. Anybody can honk.
Oh, my.
Oh, hallelujah. Listen, we're going to have church around here, friend.
We are.
I said, we're going to have church around here. Everybody clap your hands for the Lord right now. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The door of opportunity. Opposition tried to close the mouth of the blind man. But he refused to listen to opposition. He knew that he was right at the place at the right time when the giver came walking by. And when he learned who he was and what he was able to do,
glory,
he began to cry,
oh,
Jesus, thou son of David,
have mercy
on me. They said, hold your peace. But he cried so much the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Right. Amen.
If you'll get the next few moments, you'll leave this room tonight, you'll never be the same again.
Hallelujah.
Think, the Creator of all mankind was walking down the road.
That's right.
And here was a blind man. He'd never seen the rising of the setting of the sun, the beautiful sky above his head, the stars, the moon, the sun. Never seen his neighbors, his friends. But he knew that he was at the right place at the right time.
Right.
And they said, hold your peace. But he refused. He refused.
Amen.
And he said, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me.
Right.
This is what I want you to get. And Jesus stood still.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine that? The God of all eternity incarnated in a temple of flesh. And Jesus walking with God Almighty living in this temple of flesh.
Right.
The Creator of all things. The cry of the blind man stopped him. Stopped him. Let me tell you, when you cry to him, he's never too busy making worlds. He's never too busy hanging out stars. But what his ear is always open to the cry of his creation. Oh, if men would only pray. If men would only pray. What a revival. What a revival we could have. If men would only pray.
Amen.
But you got to cry out to him. I said you had to cry out to him. No doubt this blind man sat by the wayside, if he had not cried to Jesus, Jesus would not have stopped.
I believe it.
But he cried. And Jesus stopped. Stood still. He said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. They brought the man to Jesus.
Right.
Now, the scripture said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, said he took on the form of a servant. Now, here's where he takes the role of the servant. He did not come to be ministered to. He did not come to be ministered to. He came to minister.
Amen.
So he takes on the role of the servant. If you can only realize what I'm talking about tonight, your cry may be a faint cry. Whatever, whatever, cry to him if you want to attract his attention. I said if you want to attract his attention, cry to him.
Amen.
Lift up your voice to him.
Yeah.
Praise him. Not mention that his name is exalted.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
He'll listen to you.
Yes,
he said, bring him to me. Now, I want you to get this. And if you can get this, get a handle on this, you'll never be the same again as long as you live. Jesus said, what is it that I can do for you? Now, I'm your servant.
Right.
I'm here. Whatever you ask me, I want to do it for you. But it had to come from the lips of the man that wanted it. And he said, I want my sight.
Yeah, we'll see.
I want my sight.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jesus said, your faith has saved you.
Uh-huh.
He had faith over opposition.
Oh.
It takes faith. I said, it takes faith. When you are opposed, have faith. You can have a greater faith than the devil can ever throw at you. Whatever he throws at you, your faith can overcome whatever the devil will try to do to block your pathway in coming to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Right. Hallelujah.
What is it that I can do for you? I want my sight. And the scripture said immediately, his sight was restored. And he followed Jesus, glorifying God.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question tonight. A personal question. And please don't close your heart against the power of the Spirit and the voice of the preacher. What is your need right now? What do you need? Is your heart broken? Is it burdened down with sin? Is your home on the verge of being broken to pieces? What is your need tonight? What do you need right now? The giver. He stopped by this apostolic church tonight. Will everybody just lift your hands right where you are? Let us stand with hands uplifted. And as we stand with hands uplifted, just lift your hands to the Lord right now. He's speaking to you right now. I want to see tonight if you are honest enough and in earnest enough to get your need met. Whatever that need might be, you might have never prayed. You might have prayed and never found God. You might have missed the mark somewhere. I do not know anybody here. God laid this on my heart to preach to you tonight about the giver. While we have the music real soft, how many of you, I don't care how long you've been in the church, that's not the question. We will always need Jesus to help us bear our burdens.
Amen.
How many will step out and walk down the aisle of this church tonight and say in your heart, Master, the giver, I've come to you tonight. I'm going to present my need to you right now. Master, I know you're able.
Amen.
While we have the music soft, will you step out and come? Anybody that has a need in this room tonight, will you come right now? Will you come right now? If you have a need tonight, will you come right now? Will you come right now? The needs are never too many. He's always able. He's always able to answer. He's concerned about you, my friend. It's not His will that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. Just pour your hearts out to Him tonight. All the others that you need Jesus tonight. You need Jesus to meet your need. Will you come right now? Will you come? Will you come? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The word has gone out. It will not return unto Him void. Listen, I still feel. I feel the tug of the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You may never be in this same situation again. Will you just come, stand, and say, God, I have a need, and will you help me with my need? Will you help me with my struggle in life? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. The door of opportunity has been opened. But one day the door is going to be closed. Tonight is the time. This is the place. Jesus is here.
Yes, yes.
Everybody lift your hands and praise Him together. Talk to Him right now. Sing a song. Come on, lift your hands, everybody. Talk to Him right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Pour your hearts out to Him tonight. tonight. This is your opportunity right now. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, talk to him, folks. He's right here, right now. Praise God. Praise God.